Now that two of three of my kids are here, maybe I can keep track of what I'm doing. This morning we're looking at Romans chapter 8. This chapter has been called by some the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. And after Paul spends seven chapters talking about our need for forgiveness, about our sinfulness before a holy God, you go through the first seven chapters with almost a sense of who will save us from this wretched body of death. And then you get to Romans 8. Yes! So we are in Romans 8. And we are studying, we're in the middle of a sermon called Out From Under. Today's message is called Out From Under the Fog. God doesn't want us to live out from under things, pressured down, weighed down. He's come to give us life. And life abundantly. Do you want it? Okay. That sounds a little enthusiastic. At least this side of the room, a little more so. Do you want it? You know what? God wants us to want Him. He wants us to seek Him. That's what He's looking for. He wants to give us His, more of His Spirit. And when I say that, the Bible says to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk on wine. Be filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit control you, not other things. And so we seek to have the Spirit control us. And that's what this three-part mini-series within a series is about. I've got at least three parts on the Holy Spirit. It's such an important part of the Christian life. You know, you have the Father who planned salvation and sent the Son. You have the Son who fulfilled the plan and died for our sins and rescued us. And you have the Holy Spirit who continues the plan to make us like Jesus. The Holy Spirit's available to us. Romans 8, 5 through 8, but on your sheet you can see that I went to 13. Start with verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. For those who are according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So those people who set their mind on something, that's where they go. It's a close correlation between what you think about and how you act. So those who set their mind according to the Spirit, that's where you want to be. Verse 6, for the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. It does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh, they cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal or dying body through His Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, sistren, we are under obligation not to the flesh, not to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God, yes. So I really appreciate when God gives me sermon illustrations, usually, not always, like this one. So So it's Wednesday night. Dana and I are sound asleep. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:30. And all of a sudden, we both sit up in bed, and we hear this, just like that. That's really close, I swear. We're like, what in the world is that? It was so loud. I thought to myself, it must be the fire, the smoke alarm. We have an alarm system because our son-in-law, Chase, works for ADT, and he's like, how did I set you up an alarm system? I'm like, okay. We never set it. But it lets you know when someone comes to the door. Well, maybe it's an alarm system. I looked at it, it says unarmed. So, anyways, I get up. It's up in bed at night. I start walking downstairs, and I'm unarmed. I'm vulnerable. I'm not dressed. I walk downstairs to where the door is. I can't figure out what's going on. I'm in a cloud. It took me a while to start getting my thoughts going. Then I realized what that sound was. Does anyone know? Does anyone else have a keyless lock entry system? So to get in your door, if you have a keyless lock system, you hit four buttons, boop, 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 and when you get the wrong code, it goes, and you hit it again, boop, 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 and then it does it again. Someone, apparently, was trying to get in our door. Maybe they were playing a sort of ding-dong ditch. I don't know. Maybe they just were playing with it. But after you do it like 3 or 4 times, it shuts off. I was in a fog. I didn't know what was going on. I could have been in danger. You don't want to live your life in a fog. You want to be armed by the Holy Spirit. You know, it says in Ephesians 5, 13 to 14, but everything's exposed by the light. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Wake up. Wake up out of the fog, God's saying. Wake up, sleeper. Let the light of Christ shine on you. We need to be thinking. Life is precious, and it's short, and it's vulnerable. We need to do all we can to have the full life that Jesus promised us. Well, in our scripture this morning, and on your handout, if you'd like to follow along, what is a flesh-focused mindset? Verse 5 says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. Where I'm going with this, the flesh is what puts your mind in the fog. You can't see. You can't perceive reality. Life's about accepting truth, or escaping it, or denying it, or running from it. And the Bible offers us fog lights, a way to see. See the truth. It's up to us to see the truth in our own lives. And a lot of times we can see we're in a fog in our relationships. So my father, who, by the way, I don't think I said this at the beginning of the service, happy Father's Day to all you guys. God bless you. My father was a man of integrity, an honest man, a hardworking man. He a compassionate man. I remember working with him on the trucks when I was in seventh grade, and I was a little confused because we'd move in the inner city of Chicago like a widow, and I'm like, is she related? He treated them with such compassion and care. I thought we might be related. Now, having said that, he wasn't perfect. He definitely, we definitely had our conflicts. So as a teenager, I wasn't becoming who my dad required me to be. Maybe he was a little tougher because he was a Marine. Any Marines in here? Anyone else a child Marine? Maybe he's a little tougher, but I felt like, as a teenager, I could never measure up. It was never enough. I was always being criticized at that age, 17, 18 years old. And he was always frustrated with me, and he let me know. I think I know why. I remember a time when I was a little younger, my grandfather visited, my dad's dad, and we had a wonderful visit, and everything went really smoothly. And then I remember my grandfather going in the garage and making some comments to my dad about it not being organized, the garage. And my dad's garage makes my garage look like a disaster. My grandfather didn't measure up, so I remember after my grandfather left, my dad was kind of like throwing things around. It passes on from son to son, doesn't it? We're not careful. That's a mindset on the flesh. It's natural. It's what we do. It's our default. It's where we go. You know you're under the flesh if you feel beat up a lot. It's like you're never good enough. You know you're under the flesh if you're stressed out all the time. You feel like you can never measure up. You know you're under the flesh if you're exhausted too often. You can never get enough done. Man, this is all of us. This happens to all of us. You know you're in the flesh if you feel stuck all the time by false guilt and shame. It steals your joy. The flaw of the flesh steals your joy. So what is the flesh? Some translations have it, sinful nature. The sinful nature does this. The sinful nature does this. Sometimes that translation works. Sometimes it doesn't. The King James, I think, sometimes has carnal mind, but has flesh. And a lot of the translations have gone back to just calling it flesh. It's like your skin. You can't get rid of it. You don't necessarily like it. The older you get, the more you see it. Right? But it doesn't define you. That's what the Bible says about the sinful nature or the flesh. The flesh is a fog that blinds you. It's like being pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth that there's another way to live, another system. It wants to give you a half-life. So we struggle with performance. The flesh tells us we need to perform or we need to succeed. Our business needs to succeed. We need to have a certain amount of money. We need to have a certain amount of retirement. We need to look cool, be cool. We need to have certain possessions. We think our past defines us. Our dysfunction defines us. Past abuse defines us. We think we need to be validated by others. The flesh leads to death, it says, like a fog. I told you about the wasp in our house. So we have two, our house has been two additions. The newer addition is the one the wasps are getting into. The old addition, well, recently I went up to the attic and the wasps have moved up into the attic. They're not coming from the attic on the other side, but they stay in the attic on this side. The other side doesn't have an attic. There's no screens to keep them out on the attic windows. So I brought a little fog. I put a can up there and set it on spray and close the door. I'm hoping to go up there and find those wasps not doing well. The fog is dangerous. Life is fragile and sacred and vulnerable. So what is the flesh? The flesh is the part of you that destroys you. What is the sinful nature? It's another way of saying the flesh. But let's get to the Spirit. What does the Spirit tell us? What does the Spirit mean to us? Well, it says in Romans 8:13b, if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, and you will live. At the age of 20, I became a Christian. And I still had this really difficult relationship with my dad. And I remember being out in the garage once and he was criticizing me. And instead of responding defensively or defending myself or saying something contrary, this time, I believe I listened to the Holy Spirit. And a thought came to me, and it didn't feel really manly. But if you think about it, it is, because it's brave, it's honest, and it's vulnerable. That's what a real man is. I said, Dad, that hurts my feelings. It stopped him in his tracks. He said, the fighting stopped. I became vulnerable, and he responded with, I didn't mean to do that. And our relationship slowly got out of the spiral going down and started to be lifted up to become a healthier relationship until he finally became a Christian. And his life was completely changed. What I learned about my dad is that it didn't matter how many cars I wrecked. It didn't matter how many chores I did. He loved me because I was his son. God loves you because you're his son or his daughter. It's not what you do. It's not where you struggle. It's not about what you fail. It's about God. His love comes from him. It's who he is. On your handout, it says, what is the finished work of the cross? When Jesus was on the cross, before he died, he said, it is finished. The finished work of the cross is that God has died for you, for your sins, for everything you've done wrong. You can't mess up. You can't ignore him enough. You can't sin enough. You can't fail enough. Everything between you and God is gone if you trust in the cross of Calvary. My father would go to hell to find me. And that's what your father has done for you. He's rescued you from hell. He's rescued you from being lost. He's rescued you from having a half-life. The Bible says we are sons and daughters. We are children of God. We are adopted into his family. Verse 15 of chapter 8 says, the spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, which means daddy, father. The spirit himself testifies with our spirits that we are God's children. I'm thrilled that my children, most of them, are here this morning. And like most kids, you know, financially they might be struggling to get by or they just have enough to get by. But when they come to our house, not Emily, just gotta point that out. When they come to our house, I want them to know that we're gonna lay out a feast for them, that they don't have to ask if they can go to the refrigerator. The pantry's theirs, the refrigerator's there. That when we go out to eat, they don't have to worry about who's paying the bill. Because they're my kids. Zoe, Chase, Deandra, Emily, Taylor, and Noah. That was an order of age. And I don't want to forget Mason, Kinsley, and Sage, our grandkids. They're our kids. You are God's kid. So here's what the Holy Spirit is telling you, because you need to know, because some of you do not have a good relationship with your father, and maybe never had one. The Holy Spirit, what we just read, is saying to you that God is your good father. He is the Father who's holy. He's the Father you need. The Holy Spirit reminds you who God is. Here's the application for you. Learn more of the Word of God. Get into more of the Bible and listen to the Holy Spirit tell you what to think. what to focus on. Because the Holy Spirit's reminding you, you're God's child. That's who you are. You're his son. You're his daughter. You have refrigerator rights. You're welcome at the table. He's throwing a feast for you. You are precious to him. You are someone he would not only look for in hell, he would save you from it, and that's exactly what he did. Now, nobody can tell you that you're not God's child because it's based on what Jesus did on the cross for you. There's no guilt or shame that can paralyze you. You don't have to prove yourself to anybody because in Christ, you have nothing to prove. No one can put you in bondage again, in discouragement or in despair. The Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you. So I encourage you, give him the word. And here's my last illustration. I hear this a lot. Well, I don't really not into reading. I don't study the Bible. I don't even want to go to church. I want to find God in nature. And I've never really said anything to that, to people who said that, because there's truth to it, right? Well, I heard one of the pastors I listened to, who's Tim Keller, give this analogy. He said, let's say you wanted to get to know Henry Ford. You might call him. Thank you, Ernie. Hopefully not during the service. You want to get to know Henry Ford. So what do? Do you go and sit in a Ford, studying who Henry Ford is? He created it. It was his idea. Or do you want to read a book about Henry Ford and get to know him? Maybe read his journals, read writings about him. This book tells us about our Father. It tells us about who we are. And so I invite you into Bible study. I invite you into fellowship and to listen to the Holy Spirit. Come out of the fog. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Let's close